Good afternoon, it's 4:30 and 57 degrees here in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Leanna Akers.
And I'm Sarah Mead.
The semi-competitive process throughout the states.
Rowan County's airport will begin a $2.4 million improvement project this spring.
The Triplet Valley Trail project received grant funding.
A Lexington sewer project could impact University of Kentucky students.
In spite of heavy rains, spring forest fire season has begun.
Legislation concerning foster children has passed the House.
State lawmakers have introduced a sexual education bill.
The cause of death of a homeless man in Lexington last week has been determined.
In sports, Rowan's basketball teams are on the road tonight.
Bud Luke has the stock report.
Rain likely tonight with a low around 45. We'll have a look at your region's extended forecast after this news.
The Clyde A. Thomas Regional Airport was awarded two aviation grants totaling $2.4 million on Friday. The grants will replace the outdated runway and taxi lighting and repair buckling pavement. Dr. Bruce Mattingly, airport board member, said he appreciated the state's support of the airport.
We also have an outstanding engineer that works with the airport in Garvering, Mark Upchurch. And so it's a combination of us communicating with the engineers, with the engineers at the KDA, and providing them with the documentation, the data, bringing them out, taking a look, and basically convincing them that this is a critical need. And that really wasn't too hard.
Mattingly said the board has been making repairs to the runway as needed, but the project will be a better long-term solution. He expects the repairs to take 30 to 45 days to complete this spring.
A walking trail in downtown Moorhead will soon be expanded thanks to a $250,000 grant announced Friday morning. The city was awarded a $250,000 recreation grant to expand the current Memorial Tree Walk Park into the first phase of the Triplet Valley Trail project, which connects City Park to the new town center. The Daniel Boone Rails to Trails group has been spearheading the project. Spokesman Scott Davison says they already have raised the 25% matching funds to qualify.
It's a big deal for downtown folks, MSU students, people at the city park to be able to go back and forth. It's going to create a recreational space for people of all ages and abilities, and a social space for people to gather together. So before too long, we're going to be saying to each other, we'll see you on the trail.
Davison says the grant does come with some restrictions, but he hopes to begin the project soon.
Drivers are using an unopened road in Pike County, causing a safety risk. The new U.S. 460 between Beaver and the Virginia state line has multiple warning signs that they're being ignored by many. Sarah George, the information officer for the Kentucky Transportation Cabinet District 12, tells WYMT this is dangerous because of the likelihood of a head-on collision.
The lanes that are paved are actually the westbound lane. There are concrete barriers in the median, and there's nowhere to go if you run into somebody. You run the risk that your insurance company will not cover the damages. They can be stopped and ticketed for criminal trespassing, but it is closed. It is not legal to be driving on it.
George says the drivers who believe the closed roads to be a better alternative, faster and easier drive than using Kentucky 80 will be facing consequences.
The U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development announced that Lexington's Hope Center has been designated as an Envision Center. That means families will have access to support services and make federal resources more readily available to those waiting on HUD assistance. Denise Cleveland Leggett is the regional administrator for HUD. She says the program is about more than just giving someone a house.
I always say there's one thing that's worse than not having a house, and that is not having hope. When you don't have hope, when you don't have belief that things will get better, when you don't have hope for yourself and your life, it is a lifetime. And so bringing that hope through the Hope Center back into the lives of people has been critical, and they are doing it in the most magnificent way.
Envision Centers provide a centralized hub for support in four areas: economic empowerment, educational advancement, health and wellness, and character and leadership.
Part of the University of Kentucky campus will be impacted by a two-year sewer project. WKYT reports the project runs between Oliver Lewis Way and Tates Creek Road and will affect several roads near and on campus. Despite being a relatively short street, Winslow Street sees a lot of traffic. The construction project, set to begin today, will close one lane of the road and will shut down the road entirely for a few days. It's something that students like Carly DiGiovanni, who live and work nearby, have been planning for.
We're not going to have White Route coming at the Winslow stop, and they're going to be rerouting it. So it makes, like, they have to go all the way around, and it makes it, like, a longer trip. So factor that in when, like, you're walking to work or class.
The closure is part of a $16 million sewer project replacing lines put in back in the 1930s. The project is expected to run through 2022.
A Lexington bookstore, Wild Fig Books and Coffee, is closing by the end of the month. It is the only African-American-owned bookstore in Kentucky. The owners believe that gentrification is to blame for the closing. The option to buy the building was taken away from them, and they were told to pack up. Owner Sarah Williams tells WKYT this will have an impact on the community.
Business right now stands to be more profitable than it's ever been. It has been very upsetting, largely because of the community members that will not be able to access the space. We have a couple of options for relocation.
Members of the community say they appreciate the store's unique atmosphere and diverse variety of books.
The Kentucky Transportation Cabinet must pay attorney's fees for a man who was denied a personalized license plate reading, "I'm God." WMKY's Rachel Turner has the story.
The ACLU of Kentucky and the Freedom From Religion Foundation filed a lawsuit against the Kentucky Department of Motor Vehicles on behalf of Ben Hart, who applied for the license plate in 2016. He had moved to Kenton County from Ohio, where he'd had the same message on a custom plate for more than 12 years. According to LEX 18, when Hart applied to get it in Kentucky, he was denied under a regulation that limits messages that are deemed obscene, vulgar, or in bad taste. In November, Hart was allowed to get the plate, and courts have ruled the Transportation Cabinet violated the First Amendment. For WMKY News, I'm Rachel Turner.
We'll have a look at more of your region's headlines right after this. Support for MSPR comes from the Mountain Arts Center, presenting the Tedeschi Trucks Band in concert 7:30 p.m. on Tuesday, February 25th. Award-winning vocalist Susan Tedeschi and husband Derek Trucks, a 15-year veteran of the Allman Brothers Band. Grammy Award winners, the Tedeschi Trucks Band, on tour supporting their latest release, Signs. The Tedeschi Trucks Band at the Mountain Arts Center, 7:30 p.m. on Tuesday, February 25th. Tickets and information online at macarts.com.
Firefighters in Lexington are gearing up for the spring forest fire hazard season. From February 15th to April 30th, it's illegal to burn anything within a 150-foot radius of brushland or woodland between the hours of 6 p.m. and 6 a.m. Major Wade Miracle with the Lexington Fire Department tells WKYT there is always a chance for a fire to start, even with the amount of rain the region has received.
The potential's there, plus with the wind, we don't think that much of it, not paying attention, then it gets out of hand. Even though we get a lot of moisture, a lot of rain, we still have the potential for it to dry out real fast.
The Lexington Fire Department does not have any major woodland areas around them to worry about, but are cautious about brush fires.
Recent severe weather was some of the worst Kentucky has seen in decades. Governor Beshear and other local leaders toured the hardest hit areas in southeastern Kentucky last week. Kentucky Division of Emergency Management Director Michael Dossett says this was one of the worst floods Kentucky has seen.
These are 100-year flood rainfall levels. I've consulted with the Corps of Engineers, and this is second only to the flood in 1977.
Officials warn Kentuckians that it's not over yet. Forecasters are predicting more rain in the coming days.
Legislation that would make it easier for foster children to change schools after a change in home placement has been approved by the State House. House Bill 312, sponsored by House Speaker Pro Tem David Meade, will ensure that schools are immediately meeting the needs of children who are already in a traumatic situation. Meade said key provisions in the bill will expedite the transfer of the child's confidential records between school districts, improve state collaboration with local school districts with regard to the child's needs, require closed foster homes to be placed on a state registry, and clarify rules for foster home placement. The Kentucky Department of Education does not support the bill, but Meade claims to have the support from teachers and administrators across the state. House Bill 312 passed the House by a 91-0 vote. It now goes to the Senate for consideration.
Active efforts for increased sex education and resources are continuing in the Commonwealth. The Traveling Sex Education Workshop that teaches about consent and anatomy in rural Appalachia has created a unique new online map. The map on sexysexed.org shows the locations of reproductive justice-related organizations and healthcare providers in the region. In addition to that, a group of state lawmakers introduced a bill that would require all public school districts in the Commonwealth to provide comprehensive sex education to students and establish minimum standards for sex ed instruction. Tanya Turner is the founder of SSE. She says she's encouraged by the legislation.
I think this is a good step in the right direction, but from what I've seen of the coverage of the bill, a lot of the news coverage has been very clickbaity and wanting people to argue about it.
In 2017, the CDC found close to 40% of high school students nationwide reported having sexual intercourse. Turner says her organization now has more than a dozen student educators spanning five states.
With the hemp and CBD industry continuing to grow in Kentucky, many believe medical marijuana could be next. WMKY's Michael Green has the story.
According to the Kentucky Department of Agriculture, 24,000 acres of hemp was harvested in 2019. The success of the plant for the state could potentially lead to the legalization of medical marijuana. A variety of CBD products were on display at the Kentucky Hemp Trade Show Saturday. Event organizer Carmine DeSanto tells WSAZ that it shows the industry's success and that Kentucky is one of the top states for hemp farmers. Hemp shares similar properties but does not include THC, the main chemical responsible for marijuana's psychological effects. House Bill 136 would legalize and regulate the drug and was approved by a committee with a vote of 17-1. It is expected to go to the House, but lawmakers want research before making a final decision. For WMKY News, I'm Michael Green.
As vaping has become more of an epidemic in the youth, the government has made attempts to stop it. While the legal age for smoking and using tobacco products has raised from 18 to 21, most flavored vape products have been banned. Many youth continue to vape. A group of students and a professor from the University of Kentucky launched the e-cigarette prevention and empowerment program called #ICanEndTheTrend. Haley Leach, a UK senior and a college facilitator within the program, tells WYMT she's worried for her generation.
It's so scary to see my generation becoming addicted to nicotine and products like that when we had done such a good job at making sure that our generation wasn't using regular cigarettes.
Leach and her fellow facilitators use a peer-to-peer approach to encourage students to put down e-cigarettes or, preferably, not to pick them up in the first place.
A Whitley County man has entered a guilty plea following online harassment charges. LEX18 reports Kenneth Dodd engaged in online harassment of a person for 6 months. The harassment came after the victim told investigators about drug and weapon trafficking. According to the indictment, Dodd obtained a copy of an interview the victim gave to ATF agents. Dodd admitted to putting the interview on Facebook, where it was seen by meth traffickers on his friends list, which led to the victim fearing for his and his family's life. Dodd admitted to lying when he told investigators on two occasions that he did not have a Facebook account. Dodd entered a guilty plea to harassment and lying to investigators. He faces 5 years for each count when he is sentenced in June.
The cause of death for a homeless man that was found on Friday has been released. The Fayette County Coroner's Office confirmed to LEX18 the death was caused by hypothermia. The 59-year-old man was found dead under an overpass on the city's south side. Officials say a caller alerted emergency officials early Friday morning seeking a wellness check on someone sleeping under the Interstate Highway overpass at Winchester Road. The man was found unresponsive and later was pronounced dead. The day following his death, another homeless man was found dead at Newtown Pike. The cause of that death has not been released.
Lexington's police chief is concerned for the local community after a string of shooting incidents. Officers have responded to a dozen shooting incidents since Saturday. In one, a 16-year-old showed up to a fire station with a gunshot wound. A few days later, 15-year-old Antoine Roberts was killed only days later when someone fired shots into an apartment on Nancy Hanks Road. Police Chief Lawrence Weather tells WKYT, people who know more about these shootings need to come forward before anyone else is killed.
You know, these things don't just happen on a whim. So they're talking to other people, they're making connections with other people long before the shooting happened.
So far, there have been at least two arrests, but no one has been charged with Roberts' murder. Weather says several of the people they are investigating are juveniles, which is why it's so important for parents to take an active role in what their kids are doing.
A suspect accused of beating a man to death in Kentucky has been arrested in Indiana. Here's the Kentucky News Network's Haley Hansen.
44-year-old Anthony Allen is accused of attacking 33-year-old Robert Bailey Jr. on February 8th. Bailey was found on Claremont Road in Bullitt County suffering from life-threatening injuries. He was rushed to Jewish South Hospital, where he was later pronounced dead. According to Indiana State Police, Allen was arrested without incident on Friday afternoon. He's now awaiting extradition on a murder charge. At that time, Bullitt County deputies will transport him to Shepherdsville. I'm Haley Hansen.
Environmental groups say a West Virginia House bill that would make public protest a crime would infringe on First Amendment rights and could dismantle environmental organizations altogether. The timing of the bill coincides with the turning point for the controversial Mountain Valley Pipeline being built across more than 300 miles in West Virginia and Virginia. In October, the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission ordered a stop to all construction on the pipeline until questions about the project's impact on endangered species can be resolved. Neil LaFerrier with the Sierra Club says the company is pushing to get back lost permits in time to complete the pipeline by the end of the year.
I think that they're really concerned that there is going to be a lot more protesting and a lot more people standing in their way. And I think that that's the push behind this, is they're worried that the protesting is going to become even more amplified and cause more issues.
If passed, West Virginia would join South Dakota, North Dakota, and three other states that have enacted anti-protest bills in the past 3 years. And taking an extended look at the WMKY's weather, tonight, mostly cloudy with a low around 48. Tuesday, showers mainly before 2 p.m., temperature rising to near 52, then falling to around 48 the remainder of the day. Tuesday night, mostly cloudy with a low around 28. Wednesday, mostly sunny with a high near 41. Wednesday night, a low around 27. Thursday, mostly cloudy with a high near 35.
Taking a look at temperatures around the region right now, it's 59 degrees in Inez, 56 in Grayson, Winchester, and Mount Sterling, 57 in Ashland, 55 over in Lexington, and here on the beautiful campus of Morehead State University, it's 57 degrees. On our feature segment today, we bring you Our Island Universe.
Nichelle Nichols played Lieutenant Uhura for 6 years on Gene Roddenberry's Star Trek. While not a scientist or engineer in real life, she did play one on TV, and her impact was no less profound. I'm Chanel Varani, director of the Star Theater at Morehead State University's Space Science Center and host of Our Island Universe. Created and aired in the mid-1960s, Star Trek imagines a future Earth free from poverty, bigotry, inequality, and the other social issues that serve to divide us rather than unite us. The basic point was always reinforced at the beginning of every show. Space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise, its 5-year mission to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no man has gone before. Lieutenant Uhura, whose name comes from Uhuru, Swahili for freedom, was fourth in command of the Starship Enterprise. This made her one of the first prominent black female characters on a major TV show. Even though it's weird now to think about it, seeing blacks on TV at that time was unheard of. Seeing a black woman as an officer on a major TV show? That was breaking all kinds of barriers and taboos. However, after her very first year, she told Gene Roddenberry that she was leaving Star Trek. As an accomplished singer, she wanted to return to her first love, which was performing on Broadway. After telling Gene of her intentions to leave, she ran into one of the first Trekkies. He commented to Nichelle Nichols how much he loved Star Trek, and in particular, her role as a black female officer. He even said that Star Trek was the only show he and his wife would let their kids watch. So when she told him that she was leaving, he was floored. That Trekkie told her, "You can't do that." He proceeded to say, "Don't you understand? For the first time, we are seen as we should be seen. You don't have a black role, you have an equal role." That Trekkie, whom she met right after quitting and told her that she should not do so? Dr. Martin Luther King. Gene Roddenberry was a true visionary who clearly understood what we as a species are capable of if we can only work together to solve the problems that divide us. But Nichelle Nichols was no less visionary. After leaving Star Trek, she became a NASA advisor that was critical in recruiting the first generation of American women and minority astronauts for the space shuttle program. Nichelle Nichols boldly went where no African American has gone before and allowed us to dream of a world free of prejudice, bigotry, racism, and poverty, a goal we're still yearning to realize. Our Island Universe is produced by WMKY in cooperation with Physics, Earth Science, and Space Systems Engineering at Morehead State University, home to the Ronald G. Eaglin Space Science Center. Learn more at morehedstate.edu/startheater.
It's 4:52 and 57 degrees here on the beautiful campus of Morehead State University. Shamari Mosley has a look at sports right after this timeout.
Support for MSPR comes from the Recreation and Wellness Center at Morehead State University. The Wilson Bowling Lanes in the Laughlin Building are open to the public for birthday parties, youth groups, by the hour or per game pricing. Cosmic Bowling features disco and black lights, open Tuesday through Saturday from 5 to 9 p.m. For more information and reservations, the phone number is 606-776-3457.
The Rowan County boys basketball team travels to Bath County tonight. For WMKY Sports, I'm Shamari Mosley. The 21-7 Vikings hit the road again tonight. They'll face off with the 15-12 Lions. Tonight's game is a makeup from February 7th. When bad weather stopped a boy-girl doubleheader at Bath. Rowan head coach Sean Thacker says his team is hoping for a big district win tonight.
You know, tonight will be a good environment. Bath County Coach Williams has done a really good job over there, and he's got those kids playing well. They're coming off a good win for them over West Carter this past weekend. They're 15 wins, and you know, they're legit. I mean, they got shooters, they got size inside, Patton kids playing really well.
Tip-off tonight is slated for 7:30 p.m. Rowan County girls travel to Nicholas County for a matchup tonight. The Vikings sit at 17-9 on the season, coming off of a 67-63 win against George Rogers Clark in overtime last Friday. The Lady Jackets sit at 17-10, after a win over Madison Central on Saturday. Rowan head coach Matt Stokes says he is hoping the team is focused on playing Nicholas County tonight.
I've watched a couple of game films on them. They've got a really big post player. Got a couple of girls that can shoot the three. They play a lot of zone, which we haven't seen a whole lot this year. So that'll be good for us to see how well our offense can run against a zone defense.
Game time tonight is set for 7:30. In other girls' 16th region action tonight, Ashland Blazer heads to St. Joseph Central in Huntington, Russell hosts Boyd County, Morgan County goes on the road to West Carter, East Carter hosts Fairview, Lewis County travels to St. Patrick, Greenup County hosts Fleming County, Elliott County plays Menifee County at home, Raceland goes on the road to Bath County. The rest of the 16th region boys have the night off, but will play a full slate of games tomorrow night. After being picked third in the Ohio Valley Conference preseason predicted order of finish, Morehead State Men's Golf officially opened the spring portion of its schedule at the George Washington President's Day match play event at Weston Hill Country Club in Weston, Florida. Morehead State enters the event as the number one overall seed in the 18th field and face host George Washington in Monday's opening round. Joining the Eagles and Colonials in the field are Austin Peay, Belmont, Eastern Kentucky, Florida Gulf Coast, Mercer, and St. Bonaventure. The event also marks a return to the course for the Eagles since claiming five top four finishes in as many events last fall. MSU head coach Matthew Martin carries a roster of seven players into the event as senior Cooper Collins, redshirt junior Ryan Gillum, juniors Joe Machong and Zach Venemitz, redshirt sophomore Mason McGee, and freshman Blake Evans and John Kosier comprise the lineup. Updates will be available throughout the event on Twitter at MSU Eagles and online at MSUEagles.com. Just a week after winning its first Ohio Valley Conference title, Morehead State Rifle continued to roll Saturday, defeating VMI 46-65 to 44-12 and setting two school records in the process. WMKY's Joe Lewis has more.
The Eagles Air Rifle Squad bested the previous school record by 1 point with a 23-59. Freshman Elizabeth Plessity also shattered the school record for small bore standing with a 194 and 13 center shots, topping her sophomore teammate Aaron Deal's mark of 194 on 10 shots last year. On the air rifle range, senior Alexa Potts and Deal led the way with 592 scores. Sophomore Amber Schifano set a personal record with a 591, while freshman Grace Weber fired a 584. In small bore, Plessity led the pack with a score of 584. The Eagles are next in action on Saturday for the NCAA qualifier. For WMKY Sports, I'm Joe Lewis.
Major League Baseball is considering eliminating a portion of the 160 minor league teams as soon as this year, and the Lexington Legends are potentially on that list. The team was established 20 years ago as an affiliate of the Houston Astros, but now is associated with the Kansas City Royals. Legends president and CEO Andy Shea tells WKYT about the team's apparel for local sports fans.
It is very affordable, very accessible entertainment. I think that it provides entertainment for people that may not be able to go to other venues or concerts or Major League Baseball games or NBA games or whatever the case may be.
The team also helps kids throughout the Central Kentucky community stay active by sponsoring upwards of 15 different Little League and softball teams each year. The road to the Kentucky Derby is taking shape after a weekend of major prep races. Mr. Monomoy stamped himself as a legitimate Derby contender by winning the first division of the Risen Star Stakes in New Orleans. The colt is a half-brother to champion Philly Monomoy Girl. Hall of Fame trainer Bill Mott is back on the Derby trail after his horse, Modernist, won the second division of the Risen Star. Mott saddled last year's Derby winner with Country Horse after a disqualification.
We won it. We were lucky. We were grateful. But I really would like to win the Derby and have my horse finish in front. You know, I'd like to have his nose get out there somehow and be the one in front and no objections.
Mr. Monahoy and Modernist each took home 50 Kentucky Derby qualifying points with their victories. In another Derby prep, Azul Coast secured 10 points by winning the El Camino Real Derby for Hall of Fame trainer Bob Baffert. And that's all we have for sports tonight. For WMKY, I'm Shamari Mosley.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics, online at MSUEagles.com. Men's and women's basketball will host Belmont on Thursday, February 20th, and Tennessee State on Saturday, February 22nd. Tickets and more information from the Eagle Athletic Office at 783-2089 or online at MSUEagles.com.
Support for MSPR comes from Papa John's Pizza in the Patrick Center, Moorhead. Papa John's made-to-order specialty pizzas include the meats, the works, Tuscan 6 cheese, and many more. Side items include garlic parmesan breadsticks, cheese sticks, chicken wings, and poppers. Desserts include chocolate chip cookie and double chocolate chip brownie. For pickup and delivery in Moorhead and Round County, Papa John's can be reached at 784-3551 and online at papajohns.com.
Just a quick reminder of this weekend's weather, rather tonight's weather, mostly cloudy, a low around